The Capital Investment Committee hearing for March 1st is called to order. Members, a quorum is not present, and so we can move on to members' testimony. For members in the public, we will be hearing 16 water-related infrastructure bonding bills on an informational basis only. Each bill has been allotted 5 minutes and one testifier to present. And so I'm asking all of you to stay within the constraint of the time that we have provided. First up, we have House File 821, Representative Robbins. I understand that you have an amendment for reference called the DE1 amendment. So please explain the amendment and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members, for having me. Yes, the DE1 is just some technical corrections that clean up the language of the bill to make sure it meets the specifications of the requirements of the City of Corcoran.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm very happy to introduce the Mayor of Corcoran, Tom McKee, and our City Administrator, Jessica. They are here to discuss the need for this important water project in the City of Corcoran. This is their first ever bonding request before the legislature, so we're excited to introduce them to all of you in this process.
William, welcome, Mayor McKee. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Tom McKee, and this is our City Administrator, Jessica Vizey, who will be presenting.
Identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Jessica Feisey. I'm City Administrator for the City of Corcoran and Western Hennepin County. And I'm thank you for all having us today, Chair Lee and members of the committee. We're here today requesting funding for the city's drinking water improvements. In 2012, the city began planning for water supply, and we contracted with the City of Maple Grove. Due to some limitations with our contract and high growth demand, we started planning for the city's own system. And we started making improvements in 2023 with our infrastructure plan, and we put together $20 million of city funding and $3 million of federal funding for some key components, but we have additional key infrastructure components that we need to complete our infrastructure plan as the city sees high growth. The city is seeking $10 million for remaining water supply needs that directly impact our community. We are one of the fastest growing communities in Hennepin County, and we're excited that we had in 2022 an estimated population growth of 12%. And the items that we're looking to seek funding for are mechanical components for our treatment plant, an additional well site, a water tower, and a booster station. And we'd like to invite the committee to come out during the next bonding tour and let us know if you have any questions, and thank you for your consideration.
Members, any questions for Representative Robbins or her testifiers? I see now, Representative Robbins, any closing comments?
No, I just appreciate the committee listening to our request. It is a growing area of Hennepin County. It's really in a transition from a more rural community to a more suburban community, and we really would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. Next on the agenda, we have two bills for Representative Olson B. First up is House File 517. Welcome, Representative Olson. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So our first bill request, House File 517, is for the City of Blue Earth. Water filtration plant funding provided, about $7 million is what they're asking for. It's almost a $14 million project in order to upgrade their water treatment capabilities. I have some testifiers who are online, and they can move forward with their testimony if you so choose, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. So we have Tim Stoner. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. I'm Tim Stoner with Blue Earth. I'm currently the general manager, and I would like to thank the entire committee on behalf of all the community within Blue Earth. We have, for years, always taken great care of our water systems over the years. As a matter of fact, in 2005, we started to rebuild all of our water main from about 5% a year. Up until about 2018, where we learned about the MPCA, the potential compliance issue that we were facing with our chlorides at the wastewater plant, we elected to make sure and try to cover this ourselves as well, similar to what we did with our water mains. So we started raising rates at 8% a year back in 18. 2020, we realized we were running a tad short. We increased that rate increase on our rate customers to 10% a year through 2024. we really felt that we had everything under control. Matter of fact, what we learned is that through 2021, our project had went up almost 30%, partially because of supply chain issues and some inflation. That put us a little bit behind as far as funding that future water plant. Our goal is to move to this RO system to help the chlorides according to the MPCA compliance. So we're asking for the additional $7 million for funding to help us do the right thing. We've always tried to do the right thing, and we were planning on it. We just do need the additional help from the state. Currently, the project is on the Department of Health. We're listed at 271 on the priority list. With the PFA, we are listed in the intended use plan, and we are currently certified as of June 2022. We're ready to go, and water plan.
Thank you, Mr. Stoner. Members, any questions for Representative Olson or testifier? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Stoner. Thank you, Representative Olson, for House File 517. And then Representative Olson, House File 518.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 518 is regarding the city of Louisville. And I'd just like to point your attention to some of the issues with the city and their water infrastructure. They had a water tower last year that went out, so their water tower is gone. They had a wastewater treatment plant that they purchased and paid for, and then they turned the light switch on. The light switch didn't turn on, and they had to rebuild a second wastewater treatment plant. And you say to yourself, well, what the heck happened there? Shouldn't there be some legal obligations? Turns out, if a company goes bankrupt, there's very little you can receive in the form of restitution in result of that. So they've had to buy two wastewater treatment plants. Their water tower is now ruined, and there is grass growing in the streets. So I've got two testifiers here who can continue the sad story of Louisville's water.
Council member, welcome to the committee. Identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, sir. My name is Dennis Furch. I'm city council in Louisville. And like Vernon was saying, we had some major projects, problems, whatever. But in order to replace this old and antiquated water, sewer, water tower, and road facilities, the city of Louisville proposes to complete the following project at a cost of $7.6 million, which the city is willing to pay for a portion of that project, approximately 10%, at a cost of $6.75 million. The project is to replace the entire 60-year-old sanitary sewer system with 10,000 linear feet of 8-inch PVC sewer, replace the entire 60-year-old water main system with 10,000 linear feet of 6-inch PVC water main, including new gate valves, water tower, and hydrants. As a part of the replacing the sewer and water main project, the city proposed to repave all the streets within the city of Louisville, which are also 60 years old. The water tower literally broke last winter and needs to be replaced. And the city is literally bankrupt, having to pay for two wastewater treatment plants as described before. The city of Louisville has one of the highest utility rates plus sewer plus water in Minnesota, an average rate of $120 per month per resident. City of Louisville has one of the lowest medium household incomes at $47,750. Sewer and water rates are over 60 years old and have to be replaced due to their age and condition. Like you said, Louisville is literally mowing some of the streets due to the age and condition, inflow and infiltration in their sewer system. Freezing water tower broke the main standpipe, which is a year ago, and which makes a lot of difference to our fire coverage because we, you know, just don't have the water pressure. And the fundamental reason for this $6.75 million request is due to the fact that our community went bankrupt having to pay for two wastewater treatments. In addition, the current pandemic has especially been hard on greater Minnesota communities for businesses, economic development, and jobs. Our current financial situation prohibits our community from being able to fund these projects. We also have some pictures here if you wanted to see them by the roads, and there's grass and roads, you can see that, whatever. But
we can have the page take the handout and we could have it pass out to the members. Please proceed, Council Member.
I just want to thank you for your support and consideration of our request. We are on the PFA list. We're number 57 out of 276, which helps a little, I guess, but that's all I got. Just want to thank you for letting us come in and tell you about it, I guess.
Thank you, Council Member. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick question. Did you pursue any legal remedies? You say that the contractor is bankrupt, but did you pursue any other legal remedies?
I wasn't on a council at that time, but they did. They signed off. The mayor we had at one time signed off, for I don't think legally could have done that, but he did it. So I don't know about that, but I know the company went bankrupt, and I think they got $10,000 back out of it, and that's all they got.
Representative Olson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So to answer your question, that was the first question that I asked when they came to me and said, wait a second, you've had to pay for two wastewater treatment plants? And they said yes. They attempted to go down the legal route, but as you know, when you're talking about state and city resident funds, it costs you nearly as much to try and go and get something. When the company's bankrupt and they had no assets anyways, there was very little that they could do. It was six one way, half a dozen the other. And so their legal counsel basically told them, the amount of money you're going to invest in trying to get anything back is not going to be worth the amount of money that you'll get back. So $10,000 is what they got.
Representative Carroll, real quickly, is your city a member of the League of Minnesota Cities?
Yes.
Did you talk to them? I see there's
I do not know that.
Well, you might want to follow up with them.
Thank you, Chair.
Seeing no other questions, thank you, Representative Olson. Any quick closing comments?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a reminder, they need a new water tower because it's broken. Their first wastewater treatment plant didn't work. The second one works, but they're still paying for it. And so they're in desperate need of your help, and they're mowing their roads. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Next on the agenda, Representative Nash, House File 589.
Is it with gas or is it
with... Welcome, Representative Nash. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House File 589 is a bill that is reflective of what happens when everything goes right in a county. We have seen tremendous growth in many cities in my county. The unfortunate part is sometimes it outstrips the coverage that we have, and in this case, it's a wastewater treatment plant. With me, I have the mayor and city administrator, but the request is for $15 million to build a new wastewater treatment plant because, as we've all talked about, if you've been in municipal government, when you flush something, you'd like it to go away. And that's what the bill is for today. And I will let my testifiers take over from here.
Welcome, Mayor Leanne. Please identify yourself and proceed.
My name is Matt Leanne. I'm mayor of Cologne. The city has completed a wastewater facility plan and submitted it to the MPCA. The city also continues to optimize the operation of the treatment facility. The city has started preliminary design work for the proposed improvements. The city has applied for a Clean Water Revolving Fund and Point Source Implementation Grant programs, and the city is on the current intended use plan. The construction industry has been volatile in the recent months with regards to the materials cost and lead times. The current total project price is estimated at $15 to $18 million. We're doing this to help protect our Lake Benton and downstream waters of the Minnesota River Basin. We want to be good stewards for the environment and maintain viability of growth, a growing community. Cologne's current facility is over 25 years old and needs upgrades to meet the current permit standards to accommodate growth. Left unfunded, the city would require significant user increases, potential moratoriums on growth, and inability to meet treatment standards.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Jesse Dixon, City Administrator. Thanks for having us. As Representative Nash was saying, Highway 212 has been built out to Cologne. It's four lanes now. We're ready for commercial growth that we can't support without a new plant. User rates would just be too much for our current users. So this is really not only to support our current users with, as the mayor said, to protect the lake and just be good stewards to our community, but to support expected growth that we anticipate because of the highway coming out to Cologne, four lanes. Not only that, being at capacity, we just can't physically handle growth at this point, so that's really the main priority here is to replace what we have to support the expected growth.
Thank you. Members, any questions?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. PFA, are you guys on any list with PFA?
Yes, we're on the intent use plan. We're at rank 70.
So. 70?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Erdahl.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Scraba actually asked my question, but I would just want to do a little addendum here. For future testifiers today, if you do know your PFA number or your ranking, please just tell us so that we don't have to ask you.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Representative Ashton, your closing comments.
Mr. Chair and members, thanks for the opportunity to present the need to you today. Again, the city of Cologne is right on a brand new expanded Highway 212 that many of you helped us build. And what this does, it allows more people to call Carver County and Cologne their home. But without this, growth will eventually be restricted as it has been in other Carver County cities. And that's not something that I think is a particularly great thing. So appreciate your time.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Next up, we have Representative Daniels, House File 829. Welcome, Representative Daniels. Please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, members. I'm here today to present House File 829. It's for the city of Morristown, a small community in my district. And they're asking for $1.5 million in bonding for a $2.2 million project. And just to give you a little bit of background before I have my mayor expand on that, they have actually 85% of their water pipes and sewers, drainage systems already completed. But doing that, they had to raise their property taxes 25%. So they kind of maxed out on that. And they still need to do the last 15% of the projects. And with that, I will turn it over to my testifier, the mayor of Morristown, Tony Lindell.
Thank you, Representative Daniel. Mayor Lindell, please identify yourself and proceed.
All right. My name is Tony Lindell. I'm the mayor of Morristown. Thank you, Chairman and committee members, for allowing the time for us to be here. I appreciate Mr. Daniel's help with this. The structure, infrastructure of the city of Morristown was replaced from 1920, lead pipes. And it's just been such a struggle with our small budget to try and do a program or a project like this. We still have a third of the town left to go. We need help. That's plain and simple. So please kindly think about it. I hope we can do something that's good for everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members, any questions or comments for Representative Daniels? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Daniels. Any closing comments?
Yes, just thanks for hearing the bill today and consideration to put this in the bonding projects. Morristown has done a lot. I've been with the city about 9-10 years now, and they have a lot of it done. They paid for it out of their own pocket, and we're down to the home stretch, and they just need a little help to finish up the job. And I appreciate the time of the Chair Lee and the committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. Next on the agenda, we have two bills for Representative Schumacher. First up is House File 681. And Representative Schumacher, I understand that you have an amendment for reference coded the DE1 amendment. Can you explain the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. The DE amendment is just really clarifying. It's the same amount of money, but it's clarifying that the intent of this project is to move the current water tower and build a new, smaller water tower. There was concern that maybe the language would have it that one big water tower needed to be built, and that was going to be more expensive, and the county and the water system does not want to do that. So thank you for that. That's what the amendment does.
Thank you, Representative Schumacher. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a water tower bill, and we heard this last year, too, in committee, and so I will turn it over to Mr. Holtz for his review. Thank you.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Ryan Holtz. I'm the manager of Rock County Rural Water. Rock County Rural Water covers about 80% of Rock County. We distribute about 300 million gallons a year, and for the last few years, we have been wrote up by the Minnesota Department of Health for not having adequate one-day storage. The Minnesota Department of Health recommends that you have your peak one-day storage. We are about 45% of that. So the tower would have a huge impact on everyone in the county for fire protection, for families served, farm families, and the municipals that we serve as well. It would also give us some redundancy for power outage, natural disaster, system disruptions, drought, flooding. With the emerging contaminants in our area, nitrate issues, things like that, we can blend the Lewis and Clark water that we have pushed into our system to make sure all water is safe in the future. Rock County is a huge agricultural area, so the water quality is very important for livestock. And right now, Rock County Rural Water spends a vast majority of its budget on operations, updates to aging infrastructure, and wellhead protection. And if the project was funded by Rock County Rural Water, it would just put an unreasonable burden on the existing customers. So that's good.
Commissioner, are you going to testify too? Please identify yourself and proceed.
Commissioner Stan Williamson. I sit on the board of directors of Rock County Rural Water as a commissioner. Rock County Rural Water sits on its own within the county, and income is only generated from water sales. Because the county does not or never has over the last 40 plus years levied taxes to support Rock County Rural Water. With Rock County financially responsible, I report monthly to the Board of Commissioners, and Ryan reports quarterly to the commissioners with the progress of Rock County Rural Water. The board of directors we have consists of Rock County users, including single family. We have representatives from single family homes, the medium-sized livestock producer, and the very large livestock producers. The board of directors' goal is to provide affordable water to all. The demand for water has steadily increased over the past 40 years of Rock County Rural Water. We've dug deeper wells, and with the cooperation of surrounding farmers, landowners, we are surrounding our well fields with native grass, which is lowering our nitrate levels. Our membership in Lewis and Clark is a valuable asset. Our ability to blend Lewis and Clark water with our water over our SCADA system is working well. Our challenge now is to increase our above-ground storage. We deeply need a water tower on the west side of our footprint, which will ensure we can keep up with the demand and get the water reserves required by the state. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Members, any questions? Representative Franson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members here. You know, I when I think PFA, Representative Erdahl, and Chair, Mr. Chair there, I think of Representative Schumacher. And so I just want to let your constituents know, Representative Schumacher, that we are all much better educated on PFA issues because of Representative Schumacher. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you. When you refer to Lewis and Clark water, are you talking about Missouri River water?
Missouri River water. Ryan will answer that question better than with the gallons that we've purchased from Lewis and Clark.
Mr. Waltz.
Mr. Chair.
To your name.
Ryan Holtz. So we have two Lewis and Clark connections. They push in on each side of the system, and it blends with our water. And Lewis and Clark has been great. We would be in real trouble without it. Like Commissioner Williamson mentioned, the issue we have now is we can get it into the system. We can't store it. When we get in these real peak demand days into drought, we don't have enough above-ground storage to make sure everybody has the supply they need.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Commissioner.
Representative Schumacher, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as the next testifiers are coming up, I'll just thank the committee again for its work over the years, especially with water in southwestern Minnesota. The Lewis and Clark project was tremendous for what we have, and we have further asks on that too, I know, coming up, but it's just so important for us here, and really thank you for your time today to consider this as well.
Thank you, Representative. Next up will be Representative Schumacher, House File 840. Please proceed, Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and we heard this on the Southwest tour the last time you all were through. This is the Tyler Water Sanitary Sewer project, making sure that they have the capacity to continue to grow in their community and to build that up without having the sewer system that they currently have, which backs up on a regular basis into their homes. I would have had handouts today, but the photos would have been offensive. So with that, I will turn it over to our testifier today, the mayor for the city of Tyler. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, please identify yourself and proceed.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Joan Yott, the mayor of the great city of Tyler in southwest Minnesota, and our PFA PPL number is number 16. I am here today to tell a personal story regarding our sewer project. A few years ago, we had a 24-inch snowstorm like last week's, only in late March. It was warm and thawing was fast, followed by rainstorms of 5 and 7 inches. We were flooding and the ground was saturated. One morning, I heard a loud noise in the basement as a 6-foot geyser of sewage was coming from my floor drain. When it was done, my entire basement was covered by sewage up to my bottom step. I bleached and hydrogen peroxided every day. After all, this was a 100-year happening. The next week, I was cleaning the basement when I was suddenly standing in sewage up to my ankles. In less than 6 weeks, my basement was contaminated 4 times. Anything that could not be washed was thrown away. My neighbors lost family rooms, bedrooms, and furnaces. And each time this happened, our insurance companies called it a new incident, so we had deductibles to pay. I cried a lot and was both mentally and physically exhausted. My kids would call to see if I was coming to the lake, and all I could say was no, there was rain in the forecast. Our lives revolved around the weather. There are no basement bedrooms or family rooms in my neighborhood at this time. The last couple of years have been a drought, not good for the crops or the gardens or the lawns, but good for the basements. Tyler continues to move forward. Our new K-12 school is a state-of-the-art facility. The old school property is ready for a much-needed housing development with many people ready to build. Our city ordinance has been changed to allow individual septic systems in that area, even though we would prefer city sewer if possible. We are in negotiations with Avera to build a new nursing home and hospital on land next to our new school. We may even get a pickleball court this spring. We have received a $500,000 Safe Routes to School grant, and new sidewalks and so on will be built this summer. We have raised our sewer rates the last few years to support the project. What we need is just a little help to make sure this project can happen. I was on a Zoom meeting with Senator Klobuchar last year, and we discussed this project. And her last comments to me were, "I hope you never have sewage again in your basement, Joan. I hope you all feel the same way. This is truly a need, not a want." Thanks for listening to me. And now I would like to turn the mic over to Shannon Sweeney, the numbers man. And Shannon, here.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Shannon Sweeney, David Drone Associates, municipal advisor to the city. The city's request is essentially following the guidelines of the Public Facilities Authority. They've increased their rates to meet the affordability requirements imposed before they're grant eligible. Some have asked previously if USDA funding has been sought, and it hasn't in this instance because USDA would provide a 40-year loan for this project that would cost $1 million more in interest over the same loan from PFA. The city will have additional needs in the future that they'll need to fund. They'll be at more than $10,000 in debt per capita, which is double what the credit rating agencies call as a high level of debt. Their ability to secure private funding will be limited at best, and so their last option is the state and federal government for funding projects like this. That debt per capita number has been created by not only an existing PFA loan for a water project, but also by a future loan that they're requesting as a part of the funding package for this wastewater project. They need assistance. They need assistance through the state's programs that are available, and they need a little bit of grant funding to help bring this project home. Thanks for your assistance.
Mr. Sweeney, or Representative Schumacher, can you explain? So on the bill, it says 4.326 is a request, but in the letter from the city, it indicated 3.792. And so which number is the request?
3.792 is the request. The total project cost on the PPL has increased from $4.3 million to $7.3 million. So,
thank you. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifiers, so if this were not funded, what would you do?
Mr. Sweeney.
Wait till a more favorable legislature is seated so that they would hopefully receive funding in order to have this request. They've made this request previously, and they have increased their rates to above the affordability level that PFA imposes for its grant program. They've done their fair share to pay for this project.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, you have to wait an awful long time to get one better than Representative Schumacher. But I'm just wondering, if there were not state funding for this, would you have to proceed by raising your local property taxes, or what would you do?
Mr. Sweeney.
I doubt highly that they would be able to secure private financing because their debt per capita would be at that $10,000 threshold, which is double what lenders consider high and where their lending criteria prohibits them from purchasing bonds. And so they do need state or federal funding, and as a last resort, they may, you know, attempt to go through USDA, but ultimately PFA has programs that should assist with a need like this.
All right, thank you.
Seeing no other questions, Representative Schumacher, any closing comments?
None, just thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Representative Schumacher. Next up, we have Representative Petersburg, House File 856. And Representative Petersburg, I understand that you have an amendment for reference coded the DE1 amendment. If you could explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is correct. The original bill was up for consideration in last go-around, last biennium. That did not materialize. And over the summer, there is an opportunity for doing a regional mix as well. And so this DE just represents that ability to make it a regional with adding Medford to the program. And so that is the DE1 bill.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Please proceed.
Thank you. Again, I'm just going to turn it over to my testifiers who understands the time limits as well, and we thank you for your consideration of this proposal.
City Administrator, please identify yourself and proceed.
Yes, I'm Chris Pussy, City Administrator for the City of Owatonna. Here with me is Brandon Theobald, Consulting Engineer for Medford. Thank you for providing an opportunity for us to speak to you about House File 856. We are here today to request your support to help fund a regional wastewater solution that will serve Minnesota's growing southern corridor along I-35. Specifically, $22 million for the City of Owatonna and $4.5 million for Medford. The cities of Owatonna and Medford have collaborated to address the needs in both areas through a regional solution. By combining the resources of the City of Owatonna and Medford with state funding, this project will maximize the use of tax dollars through economies of scale, a lower cost per gallon for treatment, better performance and reliability, greater staff efficiencies, and reduced permitting, sampling, and testing. Delaying a wastewater treatment solution for either Owatonna or Medford is not an option. Without state support, the average user rates for Owatonna residents are projected to increase by 70%. This regional wastewater treatment solution can serve as a model for other statewide collaborative efforts to leverage community resources to meet long-term financial growth needs. Bond assistance from the state of Minnesota is needed to ensure the long-term health and viability of both communities. I want to turn it over.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you. Brandon Theobald, consulting city engineer for the city of Medford. Medford's perspective, we're really stuck between a rock and a hard place. If we do not proceed with this reutilization project, we would be ultimately looking at our own wastewater treatment plant, potentially back here at a future date, asking for money in the bonding bill. That wastewater treatment plant on our own is $18 million. Our regionalization project with the city of Owatonna is $11 million, of which we're asking $4.5 million, so less than 50%. Why are we making that ask, and what are we doing on our side? We are ultimately looking at a rate increase. We have $63 a month as our average rate that is currently paid on the sewer side, which is about average. If we're required to build our own wastewater treatment plant, our rates will go up three times to about $180 per month for just our sewer. Our local school that uses obviously a fair amount of water, they're going to be almost $4,000 a month for just their sewer bill with our wastewater treatment plant if we're forced to go that direction. So if we do proceed with the regionalization and do get the bonding bill funding, we still would be looking at a 1.5 times increase to about $100 a month for just our wastewater, and that is the affordability rate of 1.5 times our median household income. So that's the base of our ask, and thank you.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Representative Riot.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your testimony. This is a regional solution, and I'm interested in knowing if you envision future expansion to other communities in the area, if it's being built with that in mind. Thank you.
Ms. Bussey or Mr. Theobald?
I'll answer the question from an engineering perspective. Absolutely. We think that regionalization is the way to go, is everything that Chris alluded to. The efficiencies are there. We work with other communities in southeast Minnesota that have had regionalization with their wastewater treatment plant. So I think that's something Minnesota as a whole should be looking forward to. So I think it's a great solution to our wastewater problems.
So you know other questions? Representative, please, any closing comments?
Yeah, thank you. And I think regionalization makes some sense when you're within proximity, that it makes sense. And Owatonna and Medford are fairly close in proximity, which is helpful. You do have a handout in your packet about that. And we just, again, thank you for your committee's consideration of this project. It is helpful to the city of both Owatonna and Medford from them being able to continue to grow and provide opportunities and infrastructure for their community. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Petersburg, House File 861. I understand that you have an amendment for reference, the DE1 amendment. Can you explain the DE1 amendment?
Yeah, again, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, it's very similar to the other. The original bill was under consideration last year with the possibility of federal funding to do some of the infrastructure needed. That fell through when we weren't able to get across the finish line last year. And so this new proposal, the DE1, includes not only the original bill of the water tower, but also the infrastructure for sanitary sewer, as well as the infrastructure for getting this out. And so that is the DE1. And I think you do have a handout in your packet as well. And with that, Mr. Chair, with your permission, I would turn over to Mayor Randy Zimmerman.
Mayor Zimmerman, please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon, and thank you for allowing us to testify here before you today. My name is Randy Zimmerman, and I'm the new mayor for the city of Waseca, Minnesota. And I'm joined today with our city manager, Carl Sonnenberg, along with a few other representatives, two of our county commissioners, our county administrator, Alyssa Bowers with our school district, and Ann Fitch and Carrie Watt with our Chamber of Commerce. Thank you again for allowing us to be here. Waseca's population, about 8,500 people, and over the course of the last 40 years, that population has not changed. I was born and raised in Waseca, and that number has not changed. Our request today is to, as Representative Petersburg alluded to, was for a new water tower infrastructure to our West Interchange, which we have dubbed the West Interchange, for Highway 14, which is the corridor from Winona to New Ulm. And with this project, the hopes is that it will provide much needed growth for our community so we can expand our tax base and reduce the burden on our existing taxpayers. We have a great school system, and we really have a wonderful community, but we're, in our estimation, in desperate need of your assistance to make this project a reality. Just on Monday, we lost another up to 300 jobs with a company called Itron that has made the announcement that they're going to be closing our plant within the next year and a half. We've lost a lot of businesses over the course of the last 10 to 15 years, and it's been a struggle for us to add back what we've lost due to either outdated buildings or the lack of shovel-ready buildable sites. And so we really would like your assistance in this project. We are not on the PFA list, unfortunately. For some reason, we have not qualified for that. Again, I'm brand new to this, but Mr. Sonnenberg may be able to speak to that.
All right.
Please identify yourself and proceed.
Carl Sonnenberg, City Manager. Thank you for your attention. Why is this a need? This is a need because Waseca's, we are bleeding jobs. We are also working on a hopeful private-public partnership with ConAgra. We've worked with ConAgra over the years. They've built a brand new plant in town, and the water tower will help serve them. We'll also help serve other existing businesses. And because we are bleeding jobs, we need to expand. 75% of our water and sewer monthly bill right now are fixed charges. We can't afford more loans. We're paying for the existing mortgage. We can't afford a second one. That mortgage is because of a wastewater plant that we built in 2010. Our current plant is only 1 mile away from the area that we're currently looking to build out. Getting back to the tower, we need the tower for pressure and volume for the existing folks. We need it to build out to the west interchange, but we also need pipes to get to the west interchange, and we need sewer pipes then to come back to our wastewater plant. So that's why we're asking for the amendment. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Members, any questions? Seeing none, Representative Petersburg, any closing comments?
Yeah, again, thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things I have to live in Waseca, that's my town that I live in right now and have been there for 25 years. And one of the things that we see when we have new businesses try to come in is looking at water supply and water availability. And oftentimes that is the part that says, well, no, we can't meet it. It just doesn't meet their needs. And yet Waseca is only 15 miles from 35, and it's along Highway 14, a new corridor that is heavy in business, so it has great potential to grow. But in order to do that, it needs to expand its infrastructure, so that's the reason why this is a very important. And so I just, again, thank this committee for hearing this bill and for consideration of it, and we just appreciate the time in front of you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Next on the agenda, Representative Nelson, House File 1264. Welcome, Representative Nelson. Please proceed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And file 1264 it would be for $2.2 million for the Shorewood Park Sanitary District by Rush City, Minnesota. And it's a needed as the some of the failing septic systems are leaking into Rush Creek and causing issues. So I will let my testifiers here.
So, Mr. Findell, please identify yourself and proceed.
Hello, my name is Dean Findell, and I'm a board member for the Shorewood Park Sanitary Sewer District and a resident of the proposed sewer expansion. The requested funding is $2.2 million, $1.1 million to assist the construction of extending the collection system. This would add 23 additional lakeshore homes to the existing community sewer system, and $1.1 million to construct and equip upgrades to the expansion of the sewer treatment pond to accommodate sewage from the additional homes, meet recent federal and state regulatory changes related to the sewage discharge, and allow for future extension of the sewer district. The location is on the lower in the lower St. Croix River watershed, on the east shore of East Rush Lake in Chisago County. Rush Lake flows directly into the St. Croix River through Rush Creek. The Shorewood Park Sanitary District is a community sewer system formed in the mid-80s and has served 85 homes. In 1996, it expanded to include an additional 35 homes The original purpose of the district was to assist in improving the water quality of Rush Lake by eliminating failing individual septic systems and reducing system sewage discharge into the lake. The sewer system has successfully accomplished this mission over three decades, but this is only a small percentage of the homes around Rush Lake. The district has been recognized for outstanding work protecting water quality in Minnesota. The district has received awards from MPCA. To be eligible for the awards, facilities must demonstrate consistent compliance and employ staff certified by the MPCA. In 2018, 23 homeowners on the eastern shore of East Rush Lake began efforts to expand the system to include their homes. This would allow closure of their private septic systems and eliminate the sewage from their homes from entering the watershed. The land where the homes are situated on the lake shore was formally annexed into the district in March 2020. Most of these home septic systems were tagged as non-compliant during inspections conducted by the Chisago County Department of Environmental Services. To date, over $100,000 in local monies has been spent for legal and engineering fees to get the project started. As a result of these efforts, the project is now shovel ready and bids were taken in 2020. Obviously, the project will have to be rebid. The project is a size and scope that can be accomplished by smaller local contractors creating local jobs. Bridging to funding, the critical project is cost prohibitive and cannot proceed without outside funding. Absent an outside funding source, the current expense to each homeowner would be exceeding $40,000, and quite a few of the homeowners are retired people. Homeowners in the local community cannot absorb the immensity cost to move forward and complete the construction. If the project has to be abandoned due to lack of funding, the local property owners will still be responsible for the monies already spent for the engineering and design, with no benefit to them or the Minnesota waters as a whole. Significance and need. The project is critical to the water quality of the St. Croix River due to the failing and non-compliant private septic systems that are impairing the water quality of Rush Lake. Improving Rush Lake will benefit the entire metro area as well as southeast and east central Minnesota due to the lake's impact on the St. Croix and Mississippi rivers. Rush Lake is the largest lake in the I-35 corridor between Forest Lake and Lake Superior, and is one of the major fishing and recreation lakes close to the North Metro area. Rush Lake and Rush Creek have been on the MPCA's inventory of impaired waters since 2002 due to nutrient load and elevated phosphorus levels. In 2010, a finding of unacceptable E. coli levels was added for Rush Creek. Rush Creek is now, I have to look at my new notes here, number 46 on the PFA list. Completing the Shorewood Park Sanitary District expansion is the first key step towards the full restoration of Rush Lake. Over time, hundreds of homes and other neighborhoods around the lake could eventually hook up to community systems, thus eventually eliminating a major hazard to the lower St. Croix River watershed. The construction also would be a sign to the neighbors around the lake that progress is being made to help protect the lake. Thank you for your time. Thank you for last year's bus tour. We were in Braham representing them too. So thank you all for your help.
Thank you, Mrs. Pendel. Members, any questions for Representative Nelson or the testifiers? Seeing none, closing comments, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, and I would appreciate your support and consideration on this project.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Hill, House File 867.
Thank you.
Welcome, Representative Hill. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee and members. Here to introduce House File 867. And this file would provide a grant in the amount of $1.6 million to the City of Scandia to update their Bliss wastewater collection system. It's located near Big Marine Lake. This residential cluster system services the residents who live on or near the lake. The system does not conform to the new MPCA and EPA nitrate limits, and it must be updated. The cost estimate for this is required update is $1.6 million, which far exceeds the financial capability of the city to do the necessary construction work. We're respectfully asking for your support and assistance on this important wastewater upgrade project, and I'd like to introduce Mr. Ryan Goodman, who is here on behalf of the City of Scandia's engineering group, and he'll further explain the details.
Mr. Goodman, please identify yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, Representatives, Ryan Goodman, City Engineer of Scandia, here today to talk about the Bliss Wastewater System. This system ensures that all the wastewater from these homes is treated properly before it's being released back into the environment, prevents pollutants entering the bodies of water, such as Big Marine Lake, and protects the aquatic wildlife and habitats and the drinking water sources in the area. Big Marine Lake is almost 1,800 acres of fresh water, 17 miles of shoreline downstream, is connected to thousands of protected wetlands, and eventually drains into the St. Croix River. It is part of the Big Marine Park Reserve that is nearly almost 700 acres of nature area. Many animals live in the park, plenty of birds, fish, clean water, has many different types of fish species in the lake, and adjacent to the lake is the Veterans Campground in the Big Marine Lake. When the Bliss Wastewater System was constructed, the permit did not require the system to remove nutrients such as nitrogen and phosphorus from the wastewater. Now with the upcoming permit cycle, the limits that are placed on the permits are requiring us to do this, and we're currently exceeding those nitrate limits. The city has been working very diligently over the last several years trying to remedy this situation on themselves. Things that we've done is we've done additional testing above and beyond the permit requirements. We modified our operation changes. We've added additional meters for flow monitoring and testing per the permit requirements. We've installed a drop box augmentation for nitrate mitigation, updated SCADA connection, placed bioenzyme packs, completed a nitrogen mitigation reports, and just completed a facilities plan that we plan on submitting Friday. We've also had to go through permits revisions, and we've gone through several rate increases. With a project of $1.6 million, we've also been chasing other funding opportunities, and we're currently 159 on the project priority list, and we'll be submitting Friday with the revised, with the facilities plan and reapplying to try to increase our position on that. We're also going to be chasing clean water revolving loan programs, the low interest programs, point source implementation grants, and other grant opportunities as they become available, knowing how serious the situation could be if it affects all the things that I outlined previously. Thank you for your support today, and if you got any other questions, we're more than willing to answer anything and provide additional information. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representatives.
Members, any questions or comments? Seeing none, Representative Hill, any closing comments?
Yes, thank you, Chair Lee and members. We ask for your support for this important bill to protect Big Marine Lake, the downstream wetlands, and the St. Croix River. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative Hill. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Scraba, House File 963.
Where do you want to sit?
Please proceed, Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm here before you with the mayor of Babbitt. We have a project for extension of water, sewer, and utility improvements, and I'm going to let the mayor speak on this.
Please identify yourself, mayor, and proceed.
My name is Dwayne Lossing, mayor of the city of Babbitt. Thank you, Representative Scraba, for introducing this bill. On behalf of our city, I am here asking for $2 million in state funds to help our community extend municipal infrastructure to a new housing development. We started this process back in 2016 when we identified a demand for development of single-family residential lots and multiple housing facilities. Like so many communities around the state, the city of Babbitt needs a workforce and family housing. We based our expansion efforts on a 2021 housing demand assessment prepared by the Viewpoint Consulting Group. There is an increased demand for new construction and expansion. Our current infrastructure does not allow for expansion. Any new areas that could be developed would require a lift station for the sewer system. The first phase is a shovel-ready project and is estimated to cost $4 million for infrastructure. The City of Babbitt is requesting $2 million in state bonding, with the remaining $2 million coming from local resources. The West Babbitt expansion has 18 residential lots, an 8-acre multi-housing lot with all the utilities included. These were all identified as key needs for our community. A lack of housing opportunities is creating a shortage of employees in our area. The latest home to be built in Babbitt was in 2009. Homes in that division are the newest in town. 50% of the homes in that division have been resold 1 to 3 times over, more than any other division in town, further proof of the need for newer homes. There are a multitude of companies who have employees needing and wanting housing in Babbitt. There's a recent estimate that say there's about a shortage of about 125 employees needed for our area. That does not include the mining companies, hospitals, nursing homes, DNR, and state offices. There's an elderly market who want to downsize to maintenance-free homes. We are accustomed to having 5% of our homes for sale at any given time. Currently, we have less than 7 homes on the market and even fewer lots to build on. A new housing development will increase the population and have a positive effect on the community. This will help increase our tax base, school base, and employer workers base. We are in a struggle right now because of housing as we watch our enrollment in our school drop. We're coming into a situation where we're in dire straits with our school because we can't get young families to move to our town. The first phase includes the lift station, the groundwork for the entire West Babbitt development, allowing for future expansions to provide 100-plus acres of residential lots and neighborhoods for the City of Babbitt. Mr. Chair and members, I appreciate your time and consideration, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Mayor, what is the population of Babbitt?
It's right around 1,450.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Mayor, your new housing development, how many people will that accommodate?
I'm sorry.
How many people will be in your new housing development?
Well, it would have, it's got 18 residential lots and room for multi-housing dwellings. So we're looking at an apartment building. I don't have the information on exactly how many numbers we would look. It'd be the size of the building and investors. But this would open the door for the complete rest of the expansion of our community. We have 100 acres that this is connected to, and it would run right into it. We wouldn't have to have another lift station. We would be able to continually expand off this expansion. I could get the information for you on more of a number if you'd like.
If you could provide that information to the committee administrator, we'll make sure to give it to the committee members.
Yeah. Thank you. That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Seeing no other questions, closing comments, Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to add that their water and sewer has recently been upgraded so they can handle this. They won't be coming back. So their community is ready to grow, and any favorable vote would be nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. Next on the agenda, we have two bills for Representative Myers. The first one is House File 1087. Representative Myers, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee, members. I'm here today for House File 1087, and this one's very near and dear to me because this is a city I lived in for 10 years and also served as a city council member. I have firsthand knowledge of the infrastructure needs of this community. Just a few short years ago, we replaced a 100-year-old water tower so that we can ensure, you know, safe drinking water for our community. So we're here today asking for $6.6 million for a new water treatment plant. I have with me here Mayor Joe Pagano. He's going to be advocating for not only himself, but all the families within Minnetonka Beach.
Mayor Pagano, please identify yourself or proceed.
My name is Joe Pagano, the newly elected mayor of Minnetonka Beach. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee for the opportunity to speak on behalf of Minnetonka Beach's 541 residents, which coincidentally is our PFA number. There are three takeaways from today's testimony I'd hope to leave with you. Number one, the 65-year-old water treatment plant needs immediate replacement. Second, Minnetonka Beach is one failed part away from a water crisis. Thirdly, our small town needs state funding to build a new plant. Engineering and health inspections have shown that our water treatment plant has many major components that are past their expected life and are in need of costly repair or replacement. The state's 2021 water plant treatment tour viewed Minnetonka Beach water treatment as the second worst of all inspected plant. The plant is currently operating on the Clean Water Worker Safety Fault Line. Inflation, interest rates, and the length of construction time have created a heightened sense of urgency to our project. The same plant that cost $4.2 million 2 years ago now costs $6.6 million. Interest rates have risen from 2 to 5%, and the building time to design and construct a new plant is 2.5 years. Council determined that the best use of taxpayer dollars was to build a modest and functional new plant. Like the current plant's exterior, will be simple. Priority will be given to the water filtration equipment inside the building. Now I'll look at the numbers. Minnetonka Beach has just 230 homes. There is no commercial or industrial tax base. The city budgets for this year is just $1.4 million, $300,000 of which is debt from the recent water tower replacement and the water main. The debt service for the new plant without funding is $530,000 annually. So this has become a real backyard issue. At the kitchen table, I'd expect our residents to be discussing how to fund the additional $2,300 in annual water charges over 20 years. That's $46,000 per household. These numbers will impact families with children and seniors. With a heightened sense of urgency, we ask you to support House File 1087. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Pagano. Members, any questions or comments? Seeing none, Representative Myers, close the comments.
Thank you, Chair Lee. You know, I want to thank Joe for coming out. He's, you know, worked with the city on the Parks Commission, and now he's taking over this role as mayor to proceed with, you know, requesting this water treatment plant. And I also want to say thank you to the previous mayor, Jackie Lindstrom, for all of her work. You know, this project is important. We talk about clean water. You know, I just want you guys to take a look at those cups, and hopefully we can get support to put clean water in those cups for the residents and the families of Minnetonka Beach. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Meyer. Next on the agenda, Representative Meyer's House File 1185. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee. Thank you, members. House File 1185 is something I heard about this summer and, you know, 2 summers ago when I was out talking to residents, and it's the access to safe, clean, accessible water. Did thousands of doors, the number one priority for people was the water issue in Mount. Residents are not worried so much about the brown water. They're worried about the level of manganese that's in there that makes it unsafe to drink. So today I have Mayor Jason Holt here asking for your support on House File 1185 so that we can help Jason's family and the families in the district. And it's a $36 million request. It's a big ask, but it's something that I think a lot of you, well, some of you have been out there before on the bonding tour, and I think you've seen it firsthand. So I'll let Jason add on to that.
Mayor Holt, please identify yourself or proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee and members of the committee. My name is Jason Holt. I'm the mayor for the city of Mound, located in Hennepin County. I am here today to request $36 million to fund the improvements necessary to comply with the Minnesota Department of Health guidelines for manganese so we can provide safe drinking water for our residents. Currently, our manganese levels are approximately 2 times the highest suggested level, which leaves our water unsafe to drink for our almost 10,000 residents. Mound has invested over $80 million in street and utility infrastructure since 2000 and has programmed another $31 million over the next 10 years, not including this proposal. Our current utility rates are among the highest of our peers, and the city is already shifting a significant portion of the financing of utility improvements to the tax levy. Our water fund currently has a deficit of $4.5 million and growing. State funding to mitigate the manganese problem is imperative as Mound's current per capita debt of $4,607 far exceeds other Class 4 cities across the state and all cities in Hennepin County. Mound is 96% residential and fully developed with little opportunity for growth. Our population demographics differ significantly from our neighbors, with more senior and lower income residents in the 80% of our housing inventory that is non-Lakeshore. 30% of our households make under $50,000 per year, and 1 in 10 are rent overburdened. Without state funding, this project will add almost $1,000 per year in rate and fee increase in households, with half already experiencing significant financial distress. I am not here today asking the state to fund a project caused by infrastructure neglect, nor for assistance in keeping up with growth. I am here today because our previous responsible essential investment in citywide infrastructure leaves Mound residents already burdened with higher debt, utility, and tax rates, and we do need state assistance to comply with the Minnesota Department of Health mandates. Many of the families that I talk to, include my own family, have resorted to drinking only bottled water. We all know that food, shelter, and water are three of our most basic needs. Again, please help us provide clean, safe, drinkable water to our many families in Mound. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Hall. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mayor Holt, the total cost of the project is how much?
$36.5 million.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mayor, and how much are you asking for from the state of Minnesota?
Unfortunately, $36.5 million. We can't afford it on our own.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Right now you are, if this were funded, what would that do to the costs that are presently being imposed on the residents of Mound?
Mayor
Hall.
So it would increase the average per year per resident, our water bill rate, of $1,000 increase. And again, we're already the highest, I think, in the state, if not for sure in our area.
Representative Erdahl.
All right, thank you.
See no other question. Representative Myers, any closing comments?
Thank you, Chair Lee. You know, again, I just want to talk about my experience in Mound. My district makes up 11 cities. And as you're walking up to those doors and you're talking to people to understand their priorities, when you look in their garage, there's cases and cases of water. That's what people are drinking. I just got a text 3 days ago from somebody that showed me a picture of their bathtub, and it was, you know, brown. You know, the color's one thing, but the manganese is another issue. So, you know, seeing that when you go to these houses and the bottled water is sitting in there, or the big jugs of 5 gallon water, because people are only cooking or bathing in it, it's a problem I hope you guys can help us solve. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Myers. Next on the agenda, we have two bills for Representative Hanson. The first one is House File 154. Representative Hanson, please proceed.
Mr. Chair and committee members, before I start, today is Representative Franson and my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And we have some cupcakes for you. So.
Really? Thank you, Representative Hanson and Representative Franson. Happy birthday to you both.
Thank you.
Please proceed, Representative Hanson. Yeah.
They're hungry. You better get them.
Those look really nice.
So,
this morning?
Mr. Chair and members, the first bill we have up is House File 154. There are two bills here relating to South St. Paul. When you look at the fact sheet that's provided for the first bill, 154, the aggregate expenditure that is needed for a water main replacement, water main crossing, and the control valve improvements is $6,750,000. House File 154 is asking for less than half of that. We're asking for $3 million. The one I want to highlight is one I hadn't thought too much about, but the water main crossing at 494 and 9th Avenue. So that's a real challenge, that if that breaks, that actually severs that 494 loop, and trying to get that fixed will be a great challenge. Prevention is better than cleanup, and I have with me the city manager, Ryan Garcia, who can talk some details about House File 154.
Mr. Garcia, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ryan Garcia, City Administrator for the City of South St. Paul. Thank you, Chair and committee members, for considering this request, House File 154. Hopefully the handout made it to you. If not, I can leave some. But just to highlight, we are looking for some targeted water main infrastructure improvements. The city continues to invest in our water, sewer, and stormwater infrastructure throughout the community. As an older, fully built-out suburban community, obviously we have a number of competing priorities. So these are three that continue to be priorities for us, and we hope that you'll help us to fund here in this bill. The water main replacement is the largest of these. It's really targeted at water main within the city that ranges from 70 to 110 years old. Most of this is 6-inch diameter or less cast iron pipe, susceptible to breakage, obviously corrosion, which presents problems not only from a water quality standpoint, but really from a water pressure standpoint. Fire suppression, firefighting capability, and service to residential and business customers in our community. We do continue to increase through a targeted and planned program our utility rates in the city. We are doing our best to keep up with the costs of the many needs that we have, but looking for, again, some additional help with these priorities. As Representative Hansen mentioned, the I-494 crossing is one of particular concern, not only for the city, but really for our partners at the state of Minnesota, Department of Transportation, Dakota County, and really all of our regional partners and neighbors, as a disruption to traffic flow on that interstate would be obviously very detrimental to both commerce and just daily life for our residents. So, again, HF 154 represents a pretty significant opportunity for us to address some longstanding and critical infrastructure needs in our community, and I thank you for your consideration. I would note that this has a priority of about 450 with the state right now. Thank you.
Members, any questions or comments? Representative Erdahl.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Hansen, what is the total amount that you're asking for?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Erdahl. The total amount of the project is $6.750 million. We're asking for $3 million of that.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you. So I don't have to divide by 20,000 to get the per capita or anything?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, for House File 154. Next on the agenda is Representative Hansen, House File 161.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, Representative Erdahl, this one's $5 million, so you could divide the 20,000. This is the South St. Paul Water Treatment Plant. Again, you will see a grant to the Public Facilities Authority to construct a treatment plant to remediate radium. Representative Meyer was talking about manganese. We've got a radium problem, and actually I had to shut down one well because of radium. And we are right across the river from PFAS contamination as well. So this total ask, I believe, is for $9,615,000 is what it will cost, and we are asking for $5 million of that. So a little more than half. But Mr. Garcia could ask, describe a little bit about the radium in the well.
Mr. Garcia, please identify yourself again and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee. Ryan Garcia, the City Administrator for the City of South St. Paul. House File 161, we are requesting $5 million total in consideration for this important project in our community. It should be noted that the total project cost of $9.615 million is based upon a 100% design. So the city has completed all testing analysis and final design of a water treatment facility adjacent to well number three at our own cost of $433,000 just last year. In all actuality, we are asking for slightly less than half of the total cost of this very important initiative. The high levels of radium found in well number three are significant to the tune of our radium levels in that well exceed the MDH regulatory criteria by about 70%. As I mentioned, we have placed a priority on this. We have completed design because we want to get this problem addressed as quickly and diligently as possible. Funding, as I mentioned on the previous item, is a challenge. We do have a number of competing priorities. Our water utility, again, as we've continued to slowly increase our utility rates, does not have the capacity to support this project entirely on its own. So we are looking for some additional assistance to be able to finance that program that improvement here in 2023. So thank you again, Chair Lee, for your consideration and committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Members, any questions, comments? Seeing none, Representative Hanson, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. South St. Paul is an older community, older housing, older pipes. We have a number of these basic infrastructure problems. We're not asking for the full ticket here. We're asking for a partial, and I hope you can put it in a future bill. I like voting for bills with projects, my projects.
Thank you, Representative Hanson. Members, that ends all the bills that we have for the agenda. We'll move to the adoption of the minute.
That was my favorite.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Scriba,
do we want to sing happy birthday or not?
We can do that offline after
okay,
this.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Ryer, can I have a motion to approve the minutes for February 27th?
Mr. Chair, so moved.
Representative Ryer moves approval of the minutes for February 27th. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails, and the minutes for February 27th are approved. Members, I really appreciate the efficiency of all of the testimony that we have before us. It is my hope that as we get more bill introduction, that we could take up a little bit more bills so that members from across the state could get their projects heard. So on the agenda for next Monday, March 6th, is the American Society of Civil Engineers report card on Minnesota infrastructure. This meeting is adjourned.